Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening, and first we'll dispense with the contact information. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. And my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to remind everybody that because of our heavy speaking engagements outside of our broadcast, for instance, I had 3 engagements on 3 different nights, and on one of them, a daytime engagement as well, last week alone, all out of town, some of them a 2-hour drive one way, that we have been doing batch shipping. So, now we'll be shipping like the last 2 weeks worth of requests, tomorrow. And Saturday. So just remember we announced this like a week or two ago. I just want to refresh your memory. That's only for the interim when we get through this big project and the speaking schedule. I've greatly curtailed it in the winter months. We'll be back to the next day or 2-day shipping like before. So just bear with us, but the speaking engagements are utterly critical to establishing a huge safe zone out west here. And to get the information out in a face-to-face manner, because then I have maps and charts, digital displays, all this, and it's much more effective than the airtime, obviously. So we're getting out to as many as we can at all levels. Last week alone, I spoke to several state senators from multiple states. They asked me, because they heard about our research, to come. And they're already writing articles that have, in fact, the first publication written by a state senator on these topics appears next Tuesday in the Pioneer, which is a paper all up here in the mountain regions of Arizona. It's got a huge circulation. Basically, everybody for a 2-hour drive from Eager reads it, 2 to 3 hours. So you can see the amount of coverage it gets, cited us, references. We gave them bill numbers, locations, plans, dates, who's supporting it, on all these agendas that strip our freedoms, and they're publishing it. And another newspaper that was at another speaking engagement is dedicating a column every week for the entire rest of the year. That's why these speaking engagements are so critical. Just the difference between airtime and seeing you in person with charts, maps, PowerPoints, etc., makes all the difference in the world. And we want to win this battle for our freedoms, ladies and gentlemen. So unfortunately, the last 3 months, the shopping cart has taken a beating. So like the 2-week behind thing, but that's about to be resolved. Just because in the winter I'm not going to travel as much. There's a lot more to do around the studio. And we save that intentionally for the winter months because it's so cold with snow, etc., that the winter months are ideal for inside studio type stuff and not traveling. Because we drive ourselves to save money. hour at a time, does not buy my gas, pay my oil changes, my tires, nothing. So I have to drive in it every day in the winter as it is, and driving long distances 2-3 times a week just isn't feasible, because you get slowed down so much on the speed of your driving. So I just wanted to make those announcements and let you know we're making some huge headway. Between the two newspapers, it covers 50% of Arizona and New Mexico alone. A television station is next that we've worked with before in some hearings at the county seat courthouse, and we won. We beat the socialists. They recorded it all on video and actually made a series out of it. 15-minute segments every Friday evening, a special series. They're now going to be covering us, because I was working with the cameraman and I testified on the lack of federal jurisdiction in this case, and we won. And threw out two agencies out of the entire county. So they could not function anymore because they were breaking laws, pushing people around, hurting the county economically as rogue agencies. Now they're going to be doing that for us, and that's the biggest television station in New Mexico, right out of Albuquerque. Needless to say, that communist governor of Albuquerque, New World Order fan and ally, best friends with the Clintons, doesn't like us. And I'm glad. Hell with them. So, we're making a lot of headway, and remember, we need your support, ladies and gentlemen. That's how we do it. Your donations keep the operation going, because we cannot put into the operation personally anymore. Ours is going into all these other endeavors to forward our cause for freedom. And these need to take place. Some of these endeavors alone, 1 hour talk, I can affect more people because of the graphics and charts, and they get to come up afterwards and look at them. I mean, big charts. Most of my charts are 24 by 36 inches, printed on a plotter. So very effective for the crowd, and they get to come up and study afterwards. Usually spend more time after the engagement than I did speaking, just answering questions. But it gets people mobilized. It gets people asking questions. And that's why we do our conferences. Not only do we get to give you all the research and learning and skills that we can't do over the air, but you make allies, you're face-to-face working, questions can go at lunch, in the evening, in the morning, it don't matter. That's why it's such an effective tool and cannot be matched by anybody out there, what we do. Our programming isn't, neither is our conferences. And don't forget, more limited seating this year than ever before. So, I just received another letter. I was telling Rob just this morning, another letter in the mail yesterday confirming their attendance. So there's another seat gone, ladies and gentlemen. So if you plan on coming, you better act. Some of you are friends that I know are coming, but you haven't officially like acted, just kind of talk or hem-hawed. And I have to be fair. You've been here before. If you know more so than a new person. And if the last seat gets taken by a new one, then you finally decide to contact me, I got to be fair, oh well. Because you knew more about it. You know the value. You've been here before. You know what we deal with organizing it. Past attendees should have been first getting their reservation. So keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me there. I had to get a drink. Did a speaking engagement today. It was only 45 minutes, but between that and then all the questions afterwards, and then you can't get out of the parking lot for another 30 minutes, my voice is pretty worn. Now, we're going to continue on after the musical break. I always give you that little break so you can go get something to drink, go to the bathroom one last time for the broadcast duration, get your notes together, what have you. And this is going in together with what we've been doing all week. So I hope you guys bundle your notes, as I've suggested in the past, by category, or punch them and put them in a three-ring binder with dividers, because then you can go back a lot easier to them. And I try to do that with the content always, is try to keep it in clumps to the best of our scheduling ability, so we're not bouncing all over. It makes it easier because we give you so much. I know that you need to take notes. So after the break, a couple minutes, 2.5, 3 minutes, be ready to write. We're going to continue on with our factual evidence and proof and skills and research to help you understand the intricacies of resistance warfare, what's coming to America, why you need to know it to defend ourselves, because if you don't know how they're going to fight you, you can't defend yourselves. That's one of the critical things in successful battles since man first picked up a rock and hit another guy, is understanding how the enemy works. And that's what we're teaching you, so you can properly defend our country, your communities, your loved ones, your neighbors, co-workers, churches, what have you, states, from what has become at this point, despite all of our trying and efforts, the inevitable. This country is ripe for the picking, if you will, for an attack. So keep that in mind. Take judicious notes. Don't forget your donations for the broadcast. The best thing is the fact that all Hawk Club members get an automatic deduction. When they enter in their Hawk code, let's say they're using the shopping cart, for instance, they enter in their Hawk code for the year, and it's a month-by-month thing. We ask that you do at least 3 months, but it's up to you. But you get a password that we give you, and when you enter that in at checkout, it knocks off 25 to 35%. Just for helping us with the minimum $40 a month donation. On top of that, you get every broadcast in MP3 on one disc at the end of every month mailed to you. We've been doing every other month because it's been easier, and we'll go back to once a month starting in November. For instance, September and October shipping together. July and August ship together, that type of thing. We'll be back to just shipping at the end of each month, the disc, instead of 2 months worth, but you get every broadcast on MP3 for that current month for your $40 donation, plus the huge savings on anything in the shopping cart. If you mail in your stuff, you can do the announced price if you like. A lot of you do, because you know the tight constraints we operate on, or you can go ahead and do the math yourself and deduct 20%, 25%, whatever I've announced. So Hawk Club members, you more than get back what you've helped us with. So it's like our thank you to you for being that person who realizes the importance of the operation and realizes that things like paper and ink and telephone and heating and electricity don't quit with the 1 hour broadcast. It's 24/7, it racks up. And some of our biggest expenses are in the realm of office supplies, inks, papers, stamps, postage, things like that. So keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Although you can individually buy each broadcast if you want every month, I'm just being honest, your best bet, you'll save money just by being in the Hawk Club. It's cheaper than if you add up each individual broadcast even. So with that in mind, and our announcements dispensed with this evening, we are going to go to our musical break, be ready to write when we get back for episode 3, if you will, in this current series, Understanding Resistance Warfare and its techniques and background, history, and how it's been used throughout time and in catastrophes all around the world and in all ages. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Personal email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Studio number, 928-333-2942. And our website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. And wherever you're listening, don't forget to thank those who are carrying us. A quick note. Just show your appreciation for having the Hour of the Time on their streams or airwaves or satellite transponder. Now, we ended yesterday with, not yesterday, because yesterday we did a Cooper Classic, being it was Halloween. We don't celebrate that. We don't do Halloween. And we had a bunch of work to do anyway to get prepped for the project kicking off here in the research center. So we were working till 11 o'clock at night on that. So I did a Cooper Classic rerun about Halloween. And previous to that, we had ended the broadcast in this series. And I was leaving you on a good note that you must realize that no matter what calamities or catastrophes or aggression is forced upon you by an enemy of our republic, foreign or domestic, an external invading force, their internal subterfuge, agent provocateurs, their guerrilla warfare fighters in this country, you must realize that when they push on the American public, and history has shown it time and time again, they are in a much worse situation. And they're going to be feeling it and knowing it. So that's something to help you keep your morale up. Although everything may seem horrible and catastrophic to you, imagine how bad they're off. Because you have hopefully taken heed of what we're giving you and prepared and trained and practiced and thought and read and talked to others. And you know your backyard better than anybody. So don't become discouraged. No matter what the situation, the constant shortages that will evolve of people and money and time, etc., now and in a catastrophic disaster in this country. Because you need to know, and we're helping you with all that, how to improvise. How to best possibly use what you do have. In the long run, your biggest deficiency won't be all that, your ingenuity, your skills, your research, if you're taking heed of what we're saying. The biggest deficiency is simply the courage of yourself and those around you. That's going to be the trying moment. And as individuals, we'll go back to our example of six church members, and you meet in your living room and you rotate it to a different person's living room every week. Every other week, what have you. And you talk about these issues, the politics going on, economics. How can your group diversify your skills? What is your group lacking? Where you're going to meet, maps, everything we've discussed. In the survival series, the Minuteman series, PsyOp series, on and on, tactic series, on and on and on. And back to our example of that. And when you're meeting, I'm not saying keep minutes and have votes and proxy voting and presidents and secretaries. You need to be organized and efficient, but you need to mainly stress that everybody can think for themselves. There will be a point when maybe two of you have to go get water from a given source. And it's away from your camp that you've established for safety, or away from your neighborhood, because the municipalities are going to collapse, ladies and gentlemen, and the infrastructure, most assuredly. But you've pre-planned and know where to get water every day for sanitation purposes, medical purposes, etc. So, two of your six are off doing that. Two others attending the more mundane but necessary chores, sanitation, food procurement, preparations for that evening, inventory control, etc. And maybe those two out getting water could be close, maybe just a mile away, see something that piques your interest, whether that be an enemy patrol there to hurt your community, communist forces in uniform, known agent provocateurs doing something. You have to know how to think on yourselves. You two need to make a decision. You can't wait to go back and ask the kind of ad hoc chosen leader, and you have to have a leader, what to do. Think for yourself. Maybe the leader's gone. Meeting with the leader from the next town over, the next neighborhood over, even. Maybe he's injured or ill at the time. And the generator breaks down. Are you going to wake him up from the sleep that he so absolutely or she so absolutely needs to get well? To ask him if it's okay to go where you know there's a spare part and get it and replace it? No. So you need to be able to think for yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, not just as a unit. Oftentimes, the person in the leadership role may just be outright too swamped. And we'll call them, for the sake of argument, a junior member, needs to make a decision. And if you've trained and prepared and discussed and researched properly, most assuredly, it'll be the right decision. Now, our written materials and our correspondence courses, and don't worry, the new person that has contacted me, an email recently, all I'll say is in a week, the last week, we're getting all that organized for you to start. So don't worry, KM. But you need to remember these things, ladies and gentlemen, and don't get disheartened. That's the worst thing that can happen. Morale and psychology is a powerful thing. It can eat at you to the point that you're useless and all you're doing is hurting those around you. Your children, your moms, dads, wives, husbands, whatever. Because you'll become useless, honestly. You can make yourself physically ill by dwelling on the bad. When you got to realize that the idiots that strike us in this country are much worse off. Always remember that, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I want to kind of sidetrack here. It's the same type of information, but kind of go off on some things that need to be thought about again that maybe you haven't totally caught on to. But some background reference points for you to always look back on in a bad time or situation, whether that be a natural man-made disaster, external force strikes and attacks us, or first is the internal, domestic, agent provocateurs and subterfuge. Either way, the other is soon to follow. They feed on something, let's say the country as a body, like a disease. And one germ will take advantage of the other germ's attack. That's how you have to think about it. It'll be all sides, trust me. The economy will go haywire. Infrastructure will break down. So you have to remember that resistance warfare in this continent is going to take a different shape, much like it did during our own Revolutionary and Civil Wars in 1812. Etc. Then let's say the traditional resistance warfare in Europe of World War I and World War II fame, or Vietnam, just simply because of some different factors in America. First off, many people in the so-called free nations of Europe are already completely accustomed to carrying papers to travel and get through anywhere, and have been so for generations, that now it's just looked upon as a nuisance, and with new technologies and brainwashing commercials, as an advantage to trick you. Few places in this whole entire world can people, like in America, travel for literally thousands and thousands of miles without being interrupted. Advantage A, ladies and gentlemen. One of the first things that strike totalitarian government force, socialist force, is going to need is permits, travel permits, identity cards. It's a minimum to try to help control the population they're striking. And such a thing would be the definite proof to people that something is awry. It wouldn't just be taken as a mere nuisance or something we've done for three generations here anyway. Every day on the train system or the bus system or hopping into one country or the next because of our vast and varied geography in this country and mindset. Historically, it's been proven that most of the world, the indigenous populace will do nothing. 90%. Some professor, doctorate level statisticians who study this and study it in detail through official government documents, outside sources who were there on the ground looking at it after the mess has been cleared up. Up to 90% of the populace in most places of the world will do nothing until their actual home is a threat. Right there, in their face. And it's going to be a vastly different situation here, though, in America, ladies and gentlemen, to your advantage. Any communist or totalitarian or socialist imposed system upon us, external and internal strikes, invasions, are going to meet a radically different force in America. Consider the large population and landmass, as we mentioned previously, your fact that you know your backyard better than they do. The ability to move is so critical to a resistance movement. And that will be one of your advantages again. And move great distances on paths and riverways and roads, gravel, dirt, whatever, that aren't even charted. But they're there and quite usable. The landmass is going to make it incredibly difficult to those who seek to enslave us. And again, an advantage for you. The massive amount of resources. Who knows better than you, the person that lives there, the wealth of resources in your area, not enemies, foreign or domestic. You know where the water is. You know where the productive lumber is, the animals, the copper, the steel, where the warehouses are. Not them. So consider that, ladies and gentlemen. Again, something to keep your morale up. Throughout North America, for instance, Canada, Mexico, United States, as a continent of North America, just the disparity and variations in populations, densities, terrains, weather, resources, are going to be incredibly hard on an enemy. And again, to your advantage. And it lends itself naturally to unrelenting sabotage and resistance warfare and guerrilla activities on your part to stop them. Food is a critical issue. Through your research and study and preparations, you're going to know about food, and we'll put in water as well. Food and water, sustenance, let's call it that. In your areas, long distances, maybe you have plans to meet friends and family in the next state over even, at some midpoint or what have you. You'll know better where all that is. You don't have to rely on trying to stock a decade's worth of food for every friend and somebody you might run into. It's going to go bad. There's going to be losses to attrition just from movement, rotting, pest, breakage even, weather contamination, as in winds, waters, etc., and even to something as extreme as atomic, nuclear, and biological weapons. There will still be plenty of sources for you, for food and water, if you've done your preparations and planning and research correctly. You won't need to rely on the 1.5 days supply on the store shelves that will be cut off instantly because the infrastructure collapses. The trucks ain't going to keep running immediately. It will take time for all this to take shape again. Other areas of the world, their supply systems and transportation systems and sustenance systems are so drastically different. They were going to have to figure out how to take advantage while they're attacking us of it, while you'll already know it. And other places where they maybe have experienced and conducted guerrilla warfare before they attacked us are so different, they have to relearn. This is a vastly different continent than most places in the world, ladies and gentlemen. The road systems in completely different class and type and style. I gave you examples the other evening of Russian, the Eastern Front, Germany against Russians, and when Russians withdrew intentionally to draw the Germans in, deeper into their country, how they destroyed every resource because they knew the Germans were going to rely on those resources. And I mentioned the Greeks and the famous quotes by their commander. How were they to, with primitive weapons and training and a small force, turn around the at the time, highly technical and trained and supplied force of Italy? And another thing in Russia against the Germans and the Russian occupation by Germany of World War II, most of the areas where Germany went into with lots of mechanization and plans to use roadways, etc., it was basically still completely primitive. Common were large bulks of the people still just moving on foot and horseback and horse-drawn wagons, etc. It didn't support the use of the German mechanization. It bogged them down. The Russians drew them into deeper and deeper into it while they destroyed anything the Germans could use. Other parts of the world, guerrilla bands have consistently been able to move vast amounts of supplies by themselves on foot. Jungles, mountain ravines, canyons, deserts. And they did it quite successfully against highly trained and equipped troops. Russia never could finish their assault on Afghanistan And yes, Afghanistan, a lot of guerrilla aid from us. And they used it, the whole Russian war machine couldn't defeat their crude clothing and World War II worn out equipment because of the terrain and tactics and knowledge they had of their own backyard. And that's a relatively small area, back to that point. Imagine in this country your knowledge and preparation and abilities and skills and ingenuity. And in Canada and Mexico, all those, our neighbors. The invading force has hundreds and thousands of times more area to try to watch than little countries in the past. And it's going to be impossible for them, ladies and gentlemen. Another little morale booster to keep in mind there. How can enemies watch all this? The average socialist or communist soldier or agent provocateur brought in externally or already here? This is a whole new vast realm to them. And it's going to be incredibly hard for them to adapt because of our ability and our knowledge and research and preparedness to constantly change the tide on them. It's going to be so confusing. It would be very similar to some experiences at conferences. I had forgot about an incident, a gentleman, and it was funny once we knew he was safe, but he emailed me just 2 days ago. And I had forgotten about an incident at a conference a few years back where he had wandered off. I believe he was looking for elk sheds, which are the antlers. They fall off every year, even though they're huge and they regrow them. Anyway, he had done this after lunch sometime, and late in the evening around a huge campfire came wandering back because he finally saw the fire. He was gone for hours and hours. And a lot of that can be attributed just because of the change in environment. He's not a stupid person whatsoever. Had he been to any of my conferences and Rob's conferences, he would have found his way back for lunch. And because of our vastness of land and intricacies and infrastructure in this country that exist, much of it uncharted, believe it or not, still. A lot of mechanization will be at the disposal of the Americans and Canadians and Mexicans to defend their countries. Well-used and well-known pathways and dirt roads and gravel roads and streams and rivers and ravines and canyons and ridge lines and thick foliage paths that the indigenous people to that area know like the back of their hand, that no enemy can possibly know or comprehend. And because of the vastness of even our structured road networks, from paved down to gravel and dirt, that are and aren't on maps, a lot of mechanization will be at the disposal of Americans and Canadians and Mexicans defending their country. And you need to keep that in mind. And it's something to seriously contemplate with your vehicles and transportation modes. Possibly you live in an area where you think that your Yugo or Tempo or whatever is just fine because it gets you to work and back every day and gets huge amounts of mileage and is easy parking. Yet are you going to want to stay in that quagmire? The metropolitan areas are going to absolutely implode, or you probably already have plans to get out, don't you? Is your vehicle even capable of it? The last conference, attendees without warning, and that was on purpose because I wanted them to think, and they all thought all week, because we had a wonderful, I'd say, one of the best ones ever, this last previous one this year. Got to see a little taste, and it was only a 500-yard example. And they quickly saw deficiencies in their vehicles compared to what some of the others of us had. And I'm not saying you need to go out and buy the new Turbo Cummins $46,000 Ranch Edition pickup. I would discourage it. My 1954 Willys, that has about three sizes of nuts and bolts in the entire thing, and hence very little tools needed. And everything can be worked on, no electronics to be wiped out by EMPs. Can go anywhere I can imagine, because I've tried all sorts of environments already. Water coming in the doors, and I'm not even in low gear. Upgrades, driving by a search and rescue team while they were trying to fix their axles on their $20,000 plus search and rescue vehicles. And we drove by them and waved, laughingly, where our youngest was even training, practicing driving. Low-tech, ladies and gentlemen, efficient. You can work on it on your own. Small, agile. Think about those things. Maybe you want a four-wheeler to enjoy as recreation now, which you should do. Enjoy what you have while you can. Don't go out and buy a battle tank and hide it in the mountains and go broke doing it. Something like a four-wheeler can be quite effective. Maybe you've got it pre-staged at a point where you know your little Yugo is going to get you to, and then it will be abandoned. And this other vehicle, possibly, is unidentifiable to you. Suddenly you take a whole new persona and identity and go places that car could never get you, where enemies of our republic won't have any clue where you're at or how to move. Maybe it's your daily driver, so you know every little thing about it. And you're willing to give up 3 or 4 miles to the gallon for the fact that it's your best investment. You don't want to own two things. It's the wisest investment. Because for many of you, and I taught courses to corporate levels on this very topic in California because of the amount of wildfires and earthquakes and riots and everything always seemed to break down the systems. Constantly, preparedness in the workplace. And most people would be completely stuck and left out in the wind if something happens when you're at work. And think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Many of you out there spend in your 24-hour day clock 30 to 60% of that time doing your job. Your employment, at your place of employment. And if you have the option to have a better vehicle every day with you at work, it's got a couple gallons of water in it, even just a small 2-gallon can of gas gets you a long ways extra. Always keep your tank above half. It doesn't cost any more money. Some people run it empty and then have to keep nickel-diming it. If it's $2.79 a gallon, it's $2.79 a gallon. Whether you have to keep it above half constantly, which is better for your vehicle anyway, or you constantly run it down and have to fill it back up, or you all constantly keep it at an eighth of a tank or below, always on the verge of running out. You have a little first aid kit in your vehicle. Your employment or place of employment or area of employment doesn't care or doesn't know about your self-defense items in your vehicle. All the better. You have a radio. So if you're isolated at a place of work or the catastrophe happens, natural or man-made, rioting in L.A., whatever it might be, happens, you're already set. Something to really think about, ladies and gentlemen. Pre-1976 vehicles are a premium. And even the first ones with the crude electronic ignitions, I personally have changed back to condensers and points, which EMPs don't affect. The original modules were easy to remove on the early electronic ignition systems because it truly was just the sparking timing system, distribution system, easily converted back. Then Fords, Chevys, Dodges, all three of the big makes of trucks, back to condensers or points. And it's common knowledge in rural areas how to do it. So that piece of junk, that's a low theft item anyway, nobody wants to break into it, it's ugly. Or it can even be half decent looking, but not mint, not new. It's got a good strong frame, good American steel. Roll up windows, not electric. Stick shift would be the most preferred. For reasons of battery and still being able to start it. Speed control over odd terrains. That you see parked at the corner dirt lot for $1,500. Might be a very viable alternative for you in the long run. Plus, you can go out and enjoy the outdoors more in it. Go camping, go hiking, horseback riding, fishing, hunting, I don't care. Take pictures of birds and bugs. Get out and use your land and skills on a daily basis. Because you'll quickly, just doing those entertaining things, learn what socks are horrible out in the outdoors. That the newest boots you bought weren't the greatest. That your knife wasn't as sharp as it should have been. That you should have brought a little more water. Instead of 1 gallon, maybe 2 that day. That you didn't have enough Band-Aids, fishing string. And the whole time you're having enjoyment and recreation with your families and loved ones and friends. But you'll quickly learn what coats aren't very warm. These are all ways to rehearse, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm hoping that many of you will take advantage of my challenge to you on the air this week that I put out for the simplest test you can do right in your home at no expense. In fact, you will save money in the long run. When you turn off the water main or you're in an apartment complex, and just be honest with yourself and don't turn on a faucet. And don't use a light switch or turn it off at the main. And just try the weekend and see how you fare. And you'll discover so many shortcomings. You'll wish you had bought 2 of those blankets, not 1. That you had 5 gallons of water, not 3. That you had 3 changes of batteries, not 1. An extra can of fuel for your lantern and stove. And you won't be paying utilities for the weekend. And you really need to try it. Don't try it, but then be driving out at lunch to pick up McDonald's and come back and then sit in the dark. Don't cheat. Be honest with yourself. That's why you will save money, I'm telling you. You will save money. And you'll save money in the long run. Because you're going to find out that this, and this is absolute junk. I don't want it. I'm going to sell it in a yard sale or donate to a thrift store or whatever and get 1 good item that's reliable, well-built, and usable. Better investment for your Federal Reserve notes or whatever you're using. And when I talked about the varied degrees of resistance warfare that can take place on something as vast as Canada, Mexico, or America, and all the variety here, a person in a suit and a briefcase walking down a street might be just as well camouflaged and just as an effective resistance fighter against socialism and totalitarianism as a full ghillie-suited rifle-carrying person. And you will know that because you've listened and done your research and reading and met with friends and talked about it and seen where skills and opportunities lie and exist. The vehicles, they just can't be stressed enough, ladies and gentlemen. And you must remember, ladies and gentlemen, that you are not giving the enemies of North America, if you will, due justice for their intelligence or planning if you think they only have one plan. You'd be a fool and will lose. If you think they only have one plan of enslavement or overthrow or world conquest, you are a fool. They are constantly maintaining contingency plans, constantly on the tack, chip by chip, on multiple fronts, psychologically, militarily, politically, economically, internally, externally, and all simultaneously. Constantly looking for weak spots in the free world. And because of collusion and ignorance and stupidity of Western leaders over just the last 15, 20 years, enemies of freedom have been able to advance almost at will. And there's little you can do to change that, ladies and gentlemen. You can't go back 15 years ago and change the vote you cast or what you bought. So just face it. Learn from your mistakes and move on. You'll only deplete your crucial and limited resources and abilities and skills on futile tasks and attempts. Instead, you must work on building a workable, anti-socialist, anti-communist, underground resistance movement based on realities rather than wishful thinking. And organized on tried and proven principles and technologies and tools. Remember, communist and socialist enemies have decades of experience in suppressing anti-communist activities. So if you expect to be victorious in this continent, and I really think it's a continental thing, honestly, we'll call it North America, as in Mexico, United States of America, and Canada. If you really expect, and are being honest with yourself, to hold out to the end until final victory over tyranny, then these skills and your rehearsal and preparation and knowledge of resistance movements against enemies, and your skills and abilities and preparations and items you've put back and aside and stored, maps, your knowledge of the land, your knowledge of historical battles and how the enemy works, has to be the greatest in world history. The absolute greatest in world history has to be this resistance force. The very best, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the only thing that's going to work. And it requires training and practice and reading and research. There's no shortcut, no magic bullet. And by drawing on talents and maybe more experienced members in an area that you don't know, you learn. And you're sharing with them areas they don't know. Cross-training. That, your abilities, your honesty concerning the situation and your situation in the countries, and listening to our advice is what can develop that and create that type of base on this continent. And that's why it's so important, the training and the research that we stress and we're giving you, and the conferences and the correspondence training, charts, DVDs, recordings, printed materials, experience, past, on the job, what have you, assignments, maneuvers, and practice. And it reminds me of a million times I've seen it, ladies and gentlemen. Whether it be at an event, a speaking engagement, where people have already defeated themselves because they said there's nothing we can do. The government's going to do what they want. I don't even want to be in the same crowd or room or continent as such a coward. There is something you can do. And I can't believe how many times people have defeated themselves through the single-minded approach. But oh, so-and-so broadcaster said this is how the New World Order works and how they're going to advance, so that's the only way. So I'm only going to buy Swiss America overpriced, rip-off, encapsulated coins, and I'll be fine. So what if my pantry or kitchen cabinet or what have you only has a day of food in it, and the only water I have in my whole house is sitting in the toilet tank? Because that's what that guy said, so I must be right. That's why you must be able to think and make decisions as each as an individual member and as a group. And again, that might be coworkers. Maybe some of you have those type of jobs, rig workers, timber camps, ranchers, industrial union jobs where you move and you're with the group as a pipe fitter or welder at a plant for 6 months at a time. Away from home. So you need to think about your situation. I can't give you the answer for your situation for every person listening in this country. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in this evening in this, our third episode in this series on understanding resistance, warfare, and reactions and catastrophes. I hope everybody took a studious notes. Remember, we're listeners supported here at the hour of the time. And I hope everyone has a safe and wonderful evening.